Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, Kyle Draper, NBC Sports Boston. The Celtics host for pre- and post-game is in the house with us as well. Had a late night last night with an hour post-game. Game did seem to take a while, didn't it, last night? Was not a crisply played affair.
No, bunch of free throws.
Real quickly, just because we love you, and real world update. According to the Mass State Police, there's a truck fire, I-93 northbound at the Zakim Bridge. That wouldn't cause a problem this time of day,
wow,
would it? Right two lanes are closed, ugh, and the Mass State Police says, expect delays.
It's going to be a while.
You don't say. Fire department is on the scene, but a truck fire, I-93 northbound. I'm just Uncle Dale saying if you could avoid that, maybe it would be a good idea.
I'd go around, yeah, if you could.
Might, you know, want to avoid that if, if you possibly could. So we've been talking Celtics. We've talked a little bit about Patriots and OTAs. Bill Belichick met with the media today but was not having any of it. Didn't want to play your silly games.
Nope.
Wasn't interested in answering questions about players who aren't there, which is pretty much what we thought he'd say anyway.
Yep, same old from Belichick. No surprise.
So we've had that we've talked about. People that I spoke to said Tom Brady was not working out at TB12 yesterday and today. He has been on a pretty regular basis when he's in town this offseason. Rob Gronkowski has been in and out of there practically on a daily basis. He may be in and out of there yesterday and today. I don't know that. But I think his situation is different from Brady's because I think his is more contractually.
And don't you feel
connected,
like when most guys sit out of OTAs, it's contract? Like if you're Aaron Donald or if you're whoever, it's contract. And like that's fine. Like especially with the contracts that NFL players have where there's non-guarantees and everything else, they need to maximize the money that they can get. And if they, what kind of leverage do they have? Well, they can hold out. They can not go. They can threaten to, you know, miss mini camp and training camp and all the other stuff. That's what they can do. Other than that, who's missing OTAs? Especially when you're the starting quarterback on the team. Why are you missing OTAs?
In fact, some who are there are being criticized for being there. Odell Beckham Jr., they're saying, what are you doing?
Yeah, you probably shouldn't go. So those guys, you get it. Like, all right, contract, you don't want to get hurt, and you also want to say, hey, like I could sit out, and I deserve to get more money, and then you wait, and hopefully you know the team caves and gives you all the money that you want. But if you're the team's starting quarterback, and we assume he's okay with his contract, but maybe it is more contract-related. Just you not being there is not the best message. Everybody else is there. I'm sure everybody else would like to be on vacation still, or everybody else would like to be hanging out with their kids, right, or everybody else would like to be doing whatever, but you feel like you don't have to be there.
And he's talked in the past about how important this
correct
is. Think about it.
Right.
The guys that are there right now are taking passes from Brian freaking Hoyer.
Right.
He's getting a lot of work, though.
He's getting
he
a lot of work.
Sure
and who knows? You may need him, you know, given an injury situation or something.
Not.
But you hope not.
Right.
And so there's no way that Tom Brady not being there doesn't hurt the team. I mean, I don't care how
I'm
many
not
reps.
Sure it hurts the team. But
it would, no, Dale, but he said in the past how important these are.
But we have no empirical evidence that it's going to hurt the team.
I'm just going by what Tom.
But he's also missed these things in the past.
You're
and it didn't exactly hurt the team.
It didn't hurt the team, though.
Look, it would. I'd rather he were there. I know that
well,
Josh
one of those
McDaniels
years he got hurt, right?
Would. Yeah, well, yeah, that was the one year. You know, Josh McDaniels wishes he was there. I'm guessing Bill Belichick wishes he was there.
They all do. Jordan Matthews.
But the idea that it hurts the team because he's not there, I got no evidence of that.
Yeah, but we definitely know that like what he has said before and how sort of it's like a building block and how this sort of leads to the next thing, which leads to the next thing, which eventually is the regular season. So not that this is going to be devastating. Like, oh my God, he missed OTAs. He's not going to play very well. But this is also a time to be out there with new teammates and sort of you start that process of getting on the same page with Cordarrelle Patterson or Sony Michel or Jordan Matthews or whoever, or even some of the guys that you've already played with, just even more of that and deciding to sit it out for whatever the reasons are. We know it doesn't help the team.
No,
you know, maybe it doesn't kill
them,
but we know it's not helping them.
But is this a sign also that football has moved down on Tom Brady's priority list? And how does that affect the season?
I think that's fair.
He's not,
I think that maybe for the first time in his life, he's put it behind his family. I'm not saying he doesn't love his family. I'm saying import during the football season, that's all
he's
I care about.
That's it.
And he apologizes to his wife and his kids and the sacrifices. Maybe he's just decided I'm not going to ask him to sacrifice as much.
Well, and we already saw a bit of a shift with Brady. Like, if you go back to the first 7 or 8 years of his career, that's all it was. Like, that was his life. And he didn't even tell you that. Like, he was obsessed with it. Literally, first guy there, last guy to leave, all that nonsense. He was obsessed with it. And then, you know, I think Giselle, now you have kids, and it is a little bit different. Still, it was a focus for him, but it wasn't the same. Like the story about, you know, the parking space for the guys that work out the best.
He hasn't had in a while now.
That's what I'm saying. But like the first half of his career, he did. And then there was a little bit of a transition into not having that. But still, you know, more often than not, attending these. And now maybe we're seeing yet another shift where it's like, all right, I will be at all the mandatory stuff. But the voluntary stuff for the next couple of years that I'm still in the league, I'm gonna sit that stuff out.
Let's say though, and I'm hearing you guys, but is Belichick on board with this? Because
he likes it. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
But has Tom earned that 18 years in? Has he finally earned that?
Yes.
And Belichick says, "All right, Tom, I understand you don't want to be here. That's okay." See, that's the problem. You know, our whole conversation is about the beef between Belichick and Brady.
But I don't think Belichick is wild about special treatment. Now, I don't think every player should be treated the same because guess what? Tom Brady, more important than Joe Tooney. That's just the fact of the matter. But I think they like to sort of treat everybody kind of, you know, similar. And then that way, the guys who are, you know, 40 through 50 on the roster see how Belichick is coaching Brady or see what Brady is doing to work out with the team and all of that. And it's easier to fall in line. But when your two best players are skipping OTAs, you know, what kind of message does that send to the rest of the team?
But you say two best players, but we know why Gronk is.
True. So they respect that.
That's understandable.
So we'll get maybe an update on that by the end of the week. Like, if he doesn't sign a contract, well, then there's another red flag. Yeah. Or if he does and he still doesn't show up, that would just be bizarre. But so that's sort of that's sort of a to be continued. It's really more of the focus should be on Brady.
And obviously the Celtics losing last night, series tied 2-2, but now it's a best 2 out of 3. You've got home court advantage.
Right.
And in the NBA, that apparently is everything.
That is the thing.
Based on what we say. By the way, and Keith told you about this earlier, that the all-rookie team came out, and Jason Tatum, for some reason, there was somebody who did not think he was a unanimous all-rookie first team. Mitchell and Ben Simmons were unanimous, got all 100 votes possible. Tatum got 99 first-place votes, 1 second-place vote. Well, apparently Brad Stevens was told today that Jason Tatum fell 1 vote shy of being a unanimous all-rookie first team selection, and he simply responded, "Somebody made a mistake."
Yeah, I would say somebody did, because all that's saying, because this, unlike the all-NBA team, this isn't about positions. So this is literally just the 5 best rookies. Who do you think they are? Put them on a list. And so somebody thought Tatum was the 6th best rookie.
That's somebody with an agenda, though. That's somebody.
You're right. But because these voting, it happens in every sport. There's always a couple of idiots out there, or there's a real homer. No, it just is. You see it all the time.
I'm laughing because you remember my guy, Gary Washburn.
Yes.
Carmelo MVP instead of LeBron as unanimous.
That was bad. Somebody did vote Semi Ojeleye. He had 1 second.
By the way, I'm more offended by that guy.
But Jimmy, he may have like a cousin who's, covers the league or something.
That's embarrassing. If somebody gave Semi Ojeleye an all-rookie vote, that's more embarrassing than the one Nimrod who didn't give a first-place vote to Jason Tatum.
So Mitchell and Simmons were both unanimous, so that's going to be a fascinating vote for Rookie of the Year. Tatum and the Rookie of the Year vote, you'd have to assume based off of this, we'll finish third.
I think he's
probably going to. You know what I mean? I think just based off of this, I would assume.
But, you know, people will say, well, what about the postseason? Yeah. It's a regular season award.
It is. And Donovan Mitchell is pretty damn good in the postseason, too.
Yeah, he was great in the postseason.
He didn't go as far, but he was pretty awesome.
And Ben Simmons had a great regular season, so Tatum should finish third. I have no problem with that.
And one other quick note as we go back to the calls, and we haven't mentioned this yet today just because it hasn't come up yet. I think Joel Embiid maybe needs to work on his burn game a little bit.
Oh, what'd he do now?
He tweets out
last
night.
He's very active on Twitter.
Yeah, Joel Embiid tweeted out last night. I'm quoting now. Man bun is in the NBA just to get dunked on.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
You're not allowed to tweet when you're sitting at home.
Right.
When you lost to that team.
Yeah, you lost to that team.
When we saw Joel Embiid, he was playing in the Bahamas in a pickup game yesterday on Twitter. There was a pickup game with guys who looked like they were accountants and lawyers and stuff. And
dominated that game.
He probably did dominate that game, but Joel Embiid is getting thrashed on Twitter today.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You
lost.
I did link back to him, and I quoted his tweet, and I said, I wonder if Joel Embiid was able to win that pickup game in the Bahamas.
If you're Philly, you do not want him playing any pickup games.
No, exactly.
That guy gets hurt all the time.
There's some regular games you don't want him playing in. You know, right, you give him nights off to rest. You know?
You're done. Put him on, you know.
How can he talk after he just and I'm from Philly. I'll admit that openly. But, dude, you just lost to Aaron Baines and the Celtics. If you won, all right, go for it. You know, more power to you. Talk all the trash you want. But you lost. Zip your mouth. Yeah. Get ready for next season. I mean, this is embarrassing.
Although I'm not wild about Aaron Baines' hair. I feel like he's always messing around with it at the free throw line. He's always taking it out. He's tying it back up. But I'm not wild about it.
I like his game, though.
I like Aaron Baines.
I like him a lot. I do. He's
like a much, much better Amir Johnson. So I like him.
Gee, much better, do you think?
That's what I think he is.
A good call by you. All right, let's get back to the calls. Tony's in Everett. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Great, thanks. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
What's going on?
Hey, I want to talk about how, like, I'm not trying to take on the media. Well, maybe I am.
Nice.
But how you all got us all gassed up.
What? What do you mean gassed up? About what?
About the Celtics. The Celtics.
They were up 2-0. You weren't feeling
up
pretty good last Friday?
In the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's a pretty good spot to be in, wasn't it?
Really, in game two, the Celtics was losing by about 17-19 when LeBron went out, when he got hit the shoulder off Tatum.
They were down by how much?
They were not down. No, that would be incorrect, Tony. And by the way, he missed like 4 minutes of game time.
And by the time he got back, the Celtics was up. And
my man? Circle the point. What do you got?
The point is LeBron was not on the floor, right? I like the Celtics, but LeBron does make a big difference. And I see the series going six. And I think the media kind of, everybody got gassed up, got big headed. That the Celtics was going to like maybe take it in maybe six games or five games, but LeBron is playing out of his mind when he's physically fit, you know, and the rest of the guys following its leader.
Tony, there's no doubt LeBron has elevated his game, but to blame the media and say two wins away from
the
NBA Finals.
Nobody sitting in this studio was saying they're going to end it in four or five.
Right. No.
Right, no.
I thought there was a chance of five. I thought they could take one in Cleveland. They could.
I hate to admit it. I did not listen, you know, the last few days, so I'm not sure if
you're wondering why you haven't had an invitation back in a while.
There you go.
It's not making the case really well.
I know. What? I'm hurting my own cause here. But were you of the belief that LeBron was going to quit or, you know, pack it in?
I thought he quit in game one.
So why would you? What made you think this would be over in five?
Because they looked really good in the first two games, and I thought they would win one game in Cleveland, and then they haven't lost a home game, so they would win game five. That's why they'd win in five.
Did you not account that maybe LeBron would elevate his game? Because as well as he did in game two with 42 points triple-double.
Yeah, 42-point triple-double, they beat him.
He was not impactful at all. He settled for so many outside shots.
All right, but still, the idea, so if he has the similar stat line, they proved that they could beat him. And Kevin Love could go for 22-12, and they beat him.
Once again, we go back to the stat line. You're looking at a box score.
So what?
My point is,
giving you the LeBron's stats from the
44
game.
Last night
okay.
was more impactful than his 42 in game two. LeBron punished the Celtics in game number four last night.
Right, but
in
still, he's
two,
accounting
he
just
for
40 plus
crazy,
points.
He hit
thing.
Some crazy shots. No, it's
okay.
not.
He still accounted for 42 points.
21 points in the first quarter is not
start.
The same as 21 in the fourth. I'm just saying, hypothetically, is not the same as 21 in the fourth quarter, right?
But so am I crazy to think they could have won a game in Cleveland? Like, you're saying that now because they just lost two of the games. But going into it, you said, oh, they're coming back 2-2, game five? Is that what you said?
No, I said... The Celtics, they won at home, and they look great at home.
Yeah.
Cleveland, I did not think Cleveland was going to play that bad at home.
No, neither
did I. It's clear that the role players play much better right. at home than on the road.
So what
so
are you
do
saying?
We really think that J.R. Smith was not going to get going? Do we think Kyle Korver was not going to get going? Do we think that George Hill was not going to get
point?
Going? My point is...
So you said it was going to be 2-2. So we can go, we can look up tape that after they were up 2-0, you were like, hey, they're coming back 2-2?
After 2-0, I said, I'm not going to allow myself to think... Because in the Milwaukee series, they were, 2-0. They were up 2-0 in the Milwaukee series.
So
I'm like,
that.
Oh, this is over. They're going to sweep Milwaukee.
You did say that.
I made that mistake. Milwaukee came back, even up the series. And so I knew LeBron James was going to adapt and get his players involved like we saw in game
three. But I thought the rest of his team is not great. So I thought LeBron could play great, and if the team doesn't do anything, he doesn't have Kyrie Irving or Dwayne Wade. He doesn't have that other running partner. Kevin Love's good, but he's not consistent. So I thought the rest of the team was going to let him down again. I didn't think they were going to sweep him, but I thought they were going to be able to take a game. They've won one game on the road, and I thought they could do it again.
Three and four, LeBron has done a better job of elevating his teammates and getting his teammates the ball in position to make shots.
No, I know, but they were just missing him in the first two games.
Not necessarily.
J.R. Smith was 0 for 7.
But his shots were contested. He wasn't open. It's not like J.R. Smith.
He was taking contested shots in game three and in game four. You're just making them this time. There were guys in his face. That's why he was doing the stupid shrug thing. Remember, there was guys right in his face.
I can shoot.
Oh, look at this. Oh, unbelievable. I made the shot. There's guys on him. They were just going in this game.
But Tristan Thompson. LeBron basically creates Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, he got him in a contract, too.
He got him in a contract. Nice, he gets him open looks. That screen and roll that they run is
He's
hard
so
to defend.
He's so awkward. And when he gets these dunks down there, he looks
Series is where I thought it'd be after four games. And so... You know, even after Celtics won
it,
exactly, dude. It's somebody that watches the games instead of wakes up and reads a box score every single day.
That's right. I know. What time are the games usually on? I would love to watch them.
8:30.
Are they still on NBC Boston or not?
No,
man. That's too bad. That's too bad. So you got to work now?
What do you mean I got to work now? I always work.
What are
you talking about?
You guys don't have games anymore.
No, but we do even longer pregame shows, even longer halftime shows, even longer postgame show. You should tune in one day. You might actually get some basketball knowledge once a day. You might learn a thing.
You're predicting all these games, right? I remember the Milwaukee series. That was going to be a four-game series. You had that. You were all over that. So how's this one going to play out? Because you're obviously so right about everything. You haven't gotten anything wrong.
No,
you watch all the games.
I am out of the predicting
business. Nobody else watches the games.
Unlike you,
Kyle.
I am out of the predicting business.
Oh, because you're so wrong all the time, Kyle.
No,
is that why?
Because
you're so wrong. You haven't gotten anything
about,
right,
man.
So far.
No, what are you talking about?
After they lose the game,
what have you gotten right? What have you gotten right?
At least I'm taking a stab at it. At least I'm playing the game. You're not.
You're worse than the weatherman out there.
I'm on a pre- and post-game show that nobody watches. That's awesome.
Oh.
What? Nobody watches it, Kyle.
How do you know? You got the ready to pull out the ratings.
Yeah, I do. Sorry, what 0.
Are they right
0.
Exactly.
0.
Wrong
0.
Again. Just like
right
your
here.
Basketball takes, you're wrong
what
about your media
what
takes.
What are the ratings for the
don't
show?
Don't worry about the ratings. The ratings.
What are they? If you know them, tell me what they are.
I don't have to worry about 0. The ratings. 0. I deliver my game whether one person is watching or a million
the
people are watching.
The only time people talk about your show is when you talk about Lou
and
Maloney.
Are we really going to talk about ratings right now?
Sure.
All right. I don't want to.
Go ahead.
I'm on the show right now. I don't want to talk about I don't want to talk about ratings right now.
Why not? Why
because
not?
It's not about...
You just asked me if I knew what they were. But you
know,
you
just
don't want to
said
share them.
There's a show nobody watches.
The only time
how
people talk about
nobody
your
watches?
Show.
How do you know? How do
I've
you
never
know?
Talked to anybody. The only time
know?
I heard about it
how
is
do
Lou
answer
Maloney.
The question?
You mentioned
how
Lou
do
Maloney.
You know?
Because I've never talked to a single person that said, you know what I saw on pre- or post-game? Never talked to a single person. We talk to people all the time. We get calls all the time. Nobody said, hey, you remember what Kyle said last night? Or whoever he's hosting the show with? I've never heard that.
So that means nobody's watching. If we're actually going to start,
why don't you tell me what the ratings are? We can put this to bed. Tell me what the ratings are.
If we're going to actually,
what are the ratings for this?
Can you listen? If we're actually going to start, you know, determining whether somebody watches the show or not about whether they call in, how many calls have we had so far today?
I don't know,
4 or 5.
Are we?
Oh man,
I'm on
millions
every,
are listening to us right now.
I'm on 25
you know as well as I do. Phone calls or whatever
human beings.
Does
I have
not
a lot of
matter.
Fans
does not determine if somebody
you
is watching
you apparently have
or not.
The ratings, but you don't want to share them, which I think speaks volumes.
No, I'm because I don't care about the ratings. I
you're
do my
talking
thing.
About them.
I do my thing
them.
No matter what.
You're the one
I deliver. I deliver. I'm not like you that runs and checks the ratings of my show every single day. I don't talk and run into check the ratings after every show like you do. You're validated by your ratings.
We don't
your
do that.
Your day is determined whether or not people listen to you.
Well, I don't
my
know.
Day
we,
is determined
we
about
do
the job
day.
I do.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I don't care about the ratings.
Right.
I get paid the same way, no matter what.
Good for you.
I do my best and
so
ratings
do you know
are
what
they
are.
Or
you don't?
We get an update every day.
All right, so
I don't look at them usually.
Oh, interesting.
And what's a good rating or not? I don't know. What's
oh
a like
so
what's a good
up.
Rating?
I don't know. You tell me.
Cable
you're
TV.
The one who's on TV.
Is a 0.5 a good rating? Is a 2 a good rating?
I don't know. You tell me.
Are you awake over there?
I'm staying out of the line of fire. (617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Now that we've solved the issues of radio and TV ratings, we can
we can move on. If nothing else,
more mundane matters like how do you beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 5 tomorrow night?
Well, you're at home.
That seems to be the whole.
That's all I got. That's the answer.
Sum and substance in the NBA
that's
is
the answer.
If you're at home, you win. And the exception, obviously, is like Golden State. They win wherever they play.
Yeah, right. But I think that's probably as simple as it gets because everybody on the Celtics, with the exception of Tatum, is better at home and like scores more points at home and just it seems like they're that much more comfortable. And then on the flip side, everybody, with the exception of LeBron, at least in the first two games, didn't seem like they were comfortable at all either.
Yeah, and the Celtics defensively have been better. I mean, you look at the last two games in Cleveland. Cleveland shot better than 50% in each of those games. You got to figure, I don't know what it is, whether they feed off the crowd or what. You got to figure the Celtics defense is going to be better. 68 points in the first half, that's not going to get it done.
Well, it's also surprising, Kyle, sorry, it was the Cavs defense the last two games. They're not good, but they somehow looked better.
They look better, right?
They were terrible.
Well, they look better because the Celtics were missing dunks and layups.
Yeah, that's true. But Dale, I feel like the Cavs actually, how many wide open looks did we see from the Celtics? Not many in games 3 and 4. In 1 and 2, it felt like Jaylen Brown or Rozier or somebody
wide open. Yeah.
And the Cavs made no effort to get out. In game 3 and 4, they actually made an effort. And so my concern is, did Cleveland figure something out? Like, did they figure out how to attack the Celtics defense? And then defensively, do they actually give a damn now? And are they going to make it tough on the Celtics? Because let's be honest, scoring points was always the concern for the Celtics without Kyrie, no Gordon Hayward. Will they have enough scoring?
Yeah, they go through those droughts.
They were talking about it
in the game last night. Stevens even mentioned that to Doris Burke. Like, they have that. But at home, not as much, right? There's somebody there that's able to pick up the scoring at home. On the road, though, they've had those issues where all of a sudden they go into a funk for a few minutes.
It almost seems, and it's funny because what I've heard over the last couple of games, I actually heard this, that Ty Lue has made some key adjustments that's helped the Cavaliers.
I think you mean LeBron James.
I mean, they actually said the words Ty Lue. He's not actually making coaching adjustments that Brad Stevens isn't countering, is he?
I can't think so. But Terry Rozier mentioned it on postgame last night where he said the other players out there, when they go with the switch or the screen and roll or whatever, first two games, the Celtics were able to have a guy in the lane, I think it was, or vice versa. Whereas now the positioning of the other players on the floor has been different, 3 and 4. And so I don't know if that's a Ty Lue thing or it's just coincidence, but maybe there's some subtle tweaks that Ty Lue has did. Obviously starting Tristan Thompson, but he started Thompson in game 2. But let's not forget in game 2, the Cavs were up in that first half, did have a 7-point lead at the half. And so if you're Cleveland, I think you feel you can win in Boston, right? I mean, I don't think
Cleveland has to feel better about grabbing a road. Well, first of all, they have to win a road game, but they also should feel better just based off of the four games we've seen. They look like they're more likely to win a road game than the Celtics do.
I don't feel like, based on what I've seen so far, I don't think the Celtics have a chance to win on the road. It just feels like they don't have a chance, and any team that's got LeBron's got a chance to win anywhere.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so that's why a game 7, that's why this game is tomorrow night is just so important for the Celtics, like, because without that, and then how would that change how you feel about it too? Because when they were up 2-0, a lot of people, I know we had a previous caller saying he blames us for, you know, talking the Celtics up and saying how great they were doing, but at that point, I thought they were the better team. Like, for the third straight series, you're seeing the best player is on the other side, but maybe the team is better here, right? You obviously have the better coach, and the guys 1 through 8 are better than the other teams 1 through 8. And I still feel like that's the case. Like, just because J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver were knocking down threes and George Hill finally played pretty well, I still like the Celtics team better than the Cavaliers. So they have to win tomorrow.
Well, it sounds stupid coming off of, you know, a second consecutive loss.
Right.
I actually felt pretty good about the team coming into game 5 because they went down big early on. They were down 19. They fought back to get within 7. I think they lost by, what, 9 or something?
Yeah, 9.
And I thought, okay, they didn't get their doors blown off like they did in game 3.
Right. No,
they can, you know, now you come back home, you'll overcome this. But I got to admit, that's more hope than...
No, it is. It is hopeful. But that's the thing, is because they certainly didn't play a great game, the Celtics, last night. By no means did they play a great game. And they did a pretty good job of not turning the ball over, but they missed a ton of shots, open dunks, the, you know, open threes, open, all kinds of stuff they missed. And yet they were always kind of hanging around. So you know they have a better game in them.
Like, they know that they do. But on the Cleveland side of things, the Cavs can say, well, we turned the ball over how many times last night?
Oh,
19 times last night, you know. And if we get that down to 10, you know, this is a different game. We blow them out.
Right.
And so, you know, going into game 5, you got to think the Celtics are going to play better. I mean, they shot below 40% in game 3, 41.2% last night. In the NBA, as we know, teams shoot better at home than on the road. And so I fully expect them to play better. With that being said, LeBron James is still LeBron James. And if he's playing like he did the last 2 games, forget about game 2. Because the last 2, I felt like he made it a point to get other people involved, move the basketball. It wasn't in his hands all the time.
Well, and he's playing defense.
And he's playing defense. Yeah. I mean, if LeBron decides to actually play defense, I love Jaylen Brown. I love Jason Tatum. But LeBron can lock those guys down. I mean, he's not going to get fouls called on him. I mean, it's not like he's going to be in foul trouble or foul out. And so it's going to be hard for the Celtics to score if LeBron decides to play defense.
You think they go with a lineup change tomorrow, starting lineup?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because with the lineup they have, Marcus Morris was supposed to be the LeBron stopper.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't stopped LeBron the last 3 games.
Right.
And so if it's not working and you're letting Tristan Thompson abuse you too, I mean – I think you're better off going with a Aaron Baines out there, a bigger lineup maybe. Maybe you start Marcus Smart like you were talking about, too.
Maybe
you go with Marcus Smart.
Because I really thought that it was smart by Brad Stevens not to change his starting lineup from game 1 to game 2. Even though Cleveland was doing it, they were going bigger there. But you played so well in game 1, and Marcus Morris was awesome in game 1. So don't run away from that. Well, now you've seen 3 games. That's a lot of in the playoffs, that's forever. So you've seen 3 straight games where – yeah, not only are you not winning that matchup, you're getting smoked in that matchup. So maybe it is time to go a little bit bigger, try to keep Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson off the boards. I don't know if they'll do this.
You might not need the Rozier points as much at home either.
Maybe not, because other guys, you know, Brown and Horford and those guys have been a lot better. So that'll be an interesting one to see if he makes that switch too.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Overall, I thought we did a good job, maintained our composure. They took some shots that they probably normally wouldn't have taken, but they made them, so it made it look like, you know, made it a closer game. But we like where we're at. We like what we're doing defensively, shooting 41%. So we just got to do a better job taking care of the basketball.
But just specifically at the end of the third quarter, did that feel like a momentum swing for you?
I don't even remember, Dave.
Kyle jumped on the floor for...
Oh, knocked out. Yeah, I mean, it all goes together. I really don't remember. I don't. No, I really don't. I might be smart today.
Now, LeBron, on the other hand, could give you chapter and verse of every single play that took place.
He remembers every play.
Ty doesn't remember what happened half an hour before, or maybe 45
minutes
before.
I mean, come on. This guy can't be out coaching Brad Stevens. Cannot be. He doesn't remember what happened in the game. Was that Dave McMiniman he was talking to? He's like, you know, when Korver dove for the ball, do you remember that? Everybody saw that? Oh, yeah, no, I don't remember. Like, what?
That's like...
What?
Yeah.
You're coaching the game. How do you not remember everything?
That was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That was awesome.
Like, because we were talking about, you know, LeBron when he was doing that, and we were saying that people were blowing that out of proportion. Like, it's not that hard to do. And if you ask Belichick right now about, you know, the 7th game of the season, 4th possession, he could probably tell you what plays they ran. Whereas this is right after the game, right after a win, and Ty Lue's like, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You remember that?
Yeah, he's like, no, I don't. I don't remember that. That's not a great look for Ty Lue.
Now, let's be honest, okay? Let's at least be fair.
I'm always honest.
So when he was an assistant coach here, Yeah. He was rather universally applauded, right? He was an up-and-coming guy. He was on Doc Rivers' staff. Everybody knew he was ticketed to be a head coach in the NBA. Nobody thought he was a bad coach. Nobody thought he was stupid. It was, oh, he does a great job with Doc's team, and he's going to get a chance to run his own franchise.
But nobody really knew, right? I mean, yeah, he was around the team, but I don't know. Like, if you look at Brad Stevens' staff right now, I'm not going to say, I guarantee you one of these guys will be a great coach, or I guarantee he's going to be a bad coach. You don't really know.
We don't know, but to Dale's point, the assistants, the head coaches around the league, I think within the league, everybody was singing the praises of Tyronn Lue.
They did.
Like, he was the next young up-and-comer, you know.
But people are wrong sometimes.
Remember, he was going to be the highest-paid assistant coach there in Cleveland. I think he was the highest-paid assistant coach under David Blatt. And so that's why he was brought on, to sort of be like a 1A to David Blatt. And so now he's like this boob, you know.
He seems like an absolute boob. He does. And some of that's on him. Like, it's hard to get credit as the coach when LeBron's on your team. Like, that's just the fact.
Right.
Like, you have him, so he's going to get all the attention.
Even, by
the
way, if LeBron isn't quote-unquote coaching the team like everybody thinks he is.
Right. Like, you're not going to say.
But it's like Peyton Manning in football. He's sort of, you know, the coach on the field, moving guys around, calling plays.
So, like, LeBron,
that's how LeBron
is doing that. But Ty Lue, I mean, just because people thought he was going to be a good coach, I mean, doesn't mean he is one. And I think if LeBron
leaves,
do we know on Ty
Lue if he's a good coach or not?
Doesn't that kind of sum it up? He didn't even know what happened. Like, how can you have an attention to detail if you don't even remember what happened 20 minutes earlier? That's not a great sign.
But he's been to two NBA finals.
He does have LeBron.
Exactly. But my opinion regarding coaching, the great coaches usually, mostly, have great players.
Yes. Oh, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich is a great coach, right?
Yes.
But he's had
Tim Duncan
and David Robinson, you know, Hall of Famers, you know. There are only a handful of coaches to me that have won with not great talent. And maybe not even one
it's
is
a
the right
short
word.
List.
Brad Stevens, we know,
but
is a great coach because he's maximizing with what the talent.
Right.
I feel like Larry Brown is one of those guys, too. You know, he always maximizes. But outside of that,
It's tough. Those guys are usually hooked up with somebody who's really, really good. Or, like, you know, Phil. So then you have to win so much. Like,
Phil Jackson.
He's like, oh, yeah, Jordan and Kobe and Shaq. It's like, well, you also won 11 titles.
Right,
so it's like, you have to
want to see the bag of rings I got?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, so Stevens is getting that attention for this playoff run because he doesn't have the star players. But if LeBron leaves, say he leaves Cleveland after this year, which most people believe, do you think, do you not believe that?
No, I'm laughing about your next point.
Do you think they'll keep Ty Lue?
Yes, I don't think they have any reason.
There will
not
be no reason to fire him.
Well, because I think the reason why he's there is because LeBron wants him to be. So I'm saying if he's gone now, Miami.
But my point is, why pay Ty Lue something to not coach and then pay a new coach?
I don't know what his contract is. Well, do you think
your team's going to stink anyway?
But do you think Ty Lue can maximize the talent that you have there, or do you think LeBron just is happy with him? So we'll see.
We haven't seen him without. Right.
I assume he's gonna have that chance next year.
And
just
how much
to coach without him.
Is Ty Lue actually doing? Because LeBron is who he is. Like, maybe Ty Lue's coaching is better without LeBron. You know, maybe the results won't be as good, but maybe, you know, he does get more out of some of the young players. We don't know because LeBron is there,
right?
And LeBron is so overpowering in everything he does,
and he hasn't had a lot of young players to coach because of all the picks they had to trade.
Because he keeps trading them away, Harris is in Roxbury. Hey, Harris.
Hey, Dale, Kyle, Keith. How you guys doing?
What's up, Harris?
Hey, I want actually, you know, you guys are talking about Ty Lue, and one of the sneaky things that he's actually done in this series, one of the last two games, putting Jeff Green on Jason Tatum is causing Tatum's piss. And, like, Tatum, he can't get a shot off against Green, and Green is actually doing a great job neutralizing Tatum, frustrating him. You saw it last night that, you know, Green, you know, giving that little shove in the back, holding him, tugging on him, pulling him. And it's taking Tatum out of his game, and that's one problem that I want to see the counter move that Brad Stevens is going to try to apply to maybe get Tatum off of Green and some kind of matchup. And I want to see what you think about that, and I have another.
I think it's a good point you make. And by the way, as the game was going on last night, Bill Simmons was tweeting about it, and Simmons was saying, watch off the ball. when the Celtics have the ball, and watch how much Cleveland is grabbing and holding guys off the ball. Mm-hmm. Tatum would be in that list as well. Watch how much they're disrupting Celtics players right off the ball by grabbing, holding, mm-hmm. pulling, tugging, and getting away with it.
But, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And you know how, like, you know, young guys like Tatum, who is a rookie, I mean, they get frustrated like that, and they're not used to getting that, you know, that tugging and pulling. I'm not saying start with this, but at some point in the game, in game five, I'd like to see Marcus Smart and Monroe at the five and Marcus Smart at the point, because I want to see Tristan Thompson guard Monroe, and I want Love on Horford, because Thompson can't guard Monroe. But the only problem with that is that Monroe, he can't, his defense sucks.
He's so slow, too.
Yeah, that was the thing. Can he keep up?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think it's a tough matchup for him. I guess Thompson would be the one guy.
He looked even slower than normal when he played here in game two, I think it was.
Yeah, he's not moving well out there at all.
No, I don't know about that. I think you got to see how Terry Rozier is doing offensively, and if he's not making up for some of the stuff defensively, if they're still doing the switching and all that stuff, then maybe it is less Rozier and a lot more Smart. I mean, Rozier has been playing a ton of minutes. I mean, they're basically playing seven and a half guys tops. Right? Yeah. And so he's going to play a lot, but it might be more of a Marcus Smart game tomorrow.
617-779-7937. John's in Andover. Hey, John.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up,
good
John?
Afternoon.
Hey, I just wanted to go ahead. I don't know if you guys caught this. I'm not a Van Gundy hater. I'm not a fan of his either. But at one point, Korver went to the floor for a loose ball. And Van Gundy, I don't know if you caught this, he said,
I got goosebumps.
All right. So if you guys mentioned that, I'm sorry about that. But
no, it's okay.
The other part was, at one point, not too long after that, like 2 minutes later, he happened to say, he's one of the best shooters in NBA history, which I don't know. Maybe the numbers bear that out, but I don't hear him in any conversations ever when you bring up best shooters in NBA.
I think he's the fourth most three-pointers in history.
How about the play by Kyle Korver? Didn't have the speed that everybody else chasing after the ball had, but willing to sacrifice his body. Hits the deck and gives his team the basketball back.
I have goosebumps right now.
John, he is one of the great shooters.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, okay, so I'll take that. But I just want to mention two things before I get off. First off is the Rozier stuff with LeBron. Obviously, that's just like a given. That needs to go away. But I noticed last night, besides the four dunks, that we missed a lot of layups.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. then the other part was, if Marcus Smart, I said this in the third game, if you see Marcus Smart taking three-pointers, and he took three in the first quarter, I said, we are in trouble. And that's exactly what happened. Marcus Smart started teeing up outside of three-point range.
That does it for me, too.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.